Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell and Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio.
Hi, Diane. How are you today?
Hi, Amity. Good. We're going to talk about one of Amity's favorite things now.
Rugs, area rugs.
And textiles.
And textiles, carpets, rugs, textiles. Yeah, love it. Love that subject. So let's start with kind of where I tend to start with clients up front is how, this is just an overarching conversation that we have early on, is how do we size area rugs for rooms? And how do we decide what size and what type to use for a room?
Mm-hmm.
And so the answer is related to furniture planning.
Yes.
So right when
key.
You have a room.
Absolute key.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need to know first what furniture is going in the room. And I like to think of area rugs. And again, this is different climates are for different things. Like you want more rugs in some places. There are beachy places where you want fewer rugs. But typically, we will size the furniture to live on top of a rug.
On top of
on
a
top
rug, right?
A rug. On top of.
I'm sorry, but nothing drives me more crazy than when people have a rug and they have all their furniture around the edge of it.
And it looks like a bath mat in the middle of the room.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy.
We have a lot of opinions about this. So, and then beyond that, a lot of times that means that the rug's going to have to be quite big, maybe in a main living area. Also, there's in bedrooms, you want your feet to land on rug when you get out of the beds. You can have a smaller rug in a bedroom, but you're going to want to make sure you're not walking half on and half off the rug at different places in the room. And so you're going to size it against the architecture. You're going to size it to make sure you miss doorways. You're going to size it to make sure your furniture is mostly living on it, or at least the front part of the furniture is living on it. And so once you've done that, you often, like I say, come up with a large rug. And then how do we kind of make that selection of what that material should be? And we start with, well, we have to think about budget at the same time, because we can find, you know, a Turkish style rug that's $40,000-$50,000 end up to cover that living room, or we can go to roll goods that come off a roll with carpets that we cut to fit the space.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's natural materials like sisal or seagrass or abacus or jute.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we just have a conversation with the client, say, hey, how sensitive are your feet? Do you have kids that are climbing around? Do you have dogs? You know, do you want an indoor-outdoor rug?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing in rugs and in textile market these days is the indoor-outdoor quality.
And why is that?
Well, things have come a long way with the development through technology of those materials. And so you can have a velvet sofa on your back porch that lives in the sun and rain all year round. Velvet's
wow.
A weave.
Really?
Velvet's a weave, which is mind-blowing, but it's a weave. And you can have it drain. It's made of recycled plastic bags. So
and it's
amazing.
Velvet.
And it's velvet. It's mm-hmm. a velvet. So that's amazing. These things have come a long way. And so I guess if you're thinking about your home and you're thinking about your budget and you're thinking about your lifestyle and you do have kids and dogs and you want something that you can just hose off if you had to.
Right.
That's not always the answer, but it is mildew proof and fade proof and easy to clean. And maybe you like to spill wine or whatever it is. So that's
you like to.
Maybe you like to spill wine. So yeah, that's something to think about is the size. So starting out, we think about size and then we think about material and mm-hmm. how you live. And then, you know, there's, like I say, Turkish rugs, there's wool rugs, there's silk rugs, there's viscose, there's seagrass, sisal, abacus, there are hides. You can use hides. A lot of these materials you can layer. So, for instance, you can do a seagrass or a sisal rug on a floor the size you want because that's relatively affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And then go on a trip and buy a beautiful Turkish rug or some sort of oriental. They still call them orientals. Mm-hmm. And bring those in and put them down and use that outlying rug as the frame, like a
wall. So it's a layering of rugs.
So mm-hmm. layering is an important thing. So we think about sizes, materials, and then look. They provide a lot of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Noise control, which Diane knows is one of my big things. They make a room feel a lot more quiet
mm-hmm.
and actually cleaner.
And then also, I mean, color.
Yeah.
You can definitely add mm-hmm. a whole lot of color. Mm-hmm. And there's so many cool designs out there.
Color and texture. Mm-hmm. And then cost. And like I say, you know, rugs hold their value. Important antique rugs and vintage rugs hold their value. So mm-hmm. we can go and buy that type of rug. And you can keep it for 15 or 20 years and then trade it in for another rug. And that is a thing. They're so beautifully made.
So it's not like a car where you take it off the lot and diminishes in value immediately.
Depends on the rug, but yeah, uh-huh. exactly. So those are important things to know.
What about, you know, the wool rugs? I mean, they were so popular for, you know, I mean, like the 50s and 60s, right?
Yeah, I mean, wool rugs are kind of the top of the line, well-engineered, comfortable, easy to clean, naturally mildew and stain resistant. They're more expensive
mm-hmm. because of all that.
Yeah, just and they're just beautiful and they feel amazing. You know, in Texas, we don't always think of wool as the way to go, but it mm-hmm. is a really, really great solution. Like I say, indoor outdoor rugs now are blend rugs. There are wool sisals.
Really?
So, yeah, there's blends. It's, I know, mind blowing. There's just so many options.
And how do you keep track of all this? How do you just keep learning more and more?
Yeah.
Is it because you talk with your vendors?
Yes. Yeah, so when a new product comes out, we work with different rug suppliers, different rug companies, and we go to their events, or when a new product comes out, they come to us and they bring us samples of it and they introduce us to it. But we are all so nerding out about these types of things. We read about it all the time. Our suppliers come to our showroom and do presentations, and I mean, to our studio and do presentations. And then we have to investigate it for budget reasons. We've got to go out into the field and start asking around and say, look, my client came to me with this image. This is the rug they want. Who makes mm-hmm. it? And then we find out who makes it. And then maybe if the price is not what we want to spend, we have to find a selection that's different. So we use our resources. In our field, we have specialists in all different areas, and we try to ask the right people if we don't have the answer. So, but I like to talk about rugs and textiles at the same time, meaning fabrics, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, those things, they come in trends too, like Diane was just asking about wool rugs. We all remember, maybe I, I'm a Gen Xer, remember the days of taffeta, prom dresses, mm-hmm. sateen, and that fabric is back big time. It's definitely popular again. So these things come in and out of fashion. So that's another thing we do, is we just pay attention to what's popular at the time. It's not as though we live our life by trends, but we try to pay attention to the trends.
So going back to the rugs and trends, is there trends with rugs?
There are. I think hides are really popular right now. There's mm-hmm. A couple of companies that are doing dyed hides and then cutting them into patchwork patterns.
Okay.
So that's very popular. Flaccati, which is sheep's wool.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very popular. Those were popular in the 60s. They've probably been popular forever. You know, they're sheep. So, and even 70s shag.
Shag?
Mm-hmm. Shag is back.
How do you clean shag carpets?
It depends on what the material is made of. So shag is usually an acrylic. But if it has other things in it, like a viscose, mm-hmm. you can't clean it. It just depends on the quality of it. But as far as catching cat hair and mm-hmm. dirt and dust, yeah, it does all that.
And then how do you get
holds
rid
it
of
nice
all
and tightly? You got to vacuum it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's see. The other thing I wanted to talk about is when we talk about, and it's a lot, I know, but when we talk about fabrics and even rugs, sometimes there's different weaves that we need to know about. And so when you go to interior design school, you're going to take a class about weaves, and you're going to have to learn how fabric is made. So there's plain weave, twill, satin is a weave, but there's also velvet, jacquard, herringbone, basket weave, pile cloth, pile weave, gabardine.
So when you say satin is a weave, what is that? I mean, so when you say weave, I'm thinking of a loom.
Yes. This is all how it's made on looms.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And there are PhDs you can go to school for to learn about how these things are made. And one of the rug suppliers that we work with has some high-level degree from Bard, I think, in New York, all about rugs and the history of rugs and how they're made and tribal rugs and what the religious meaning of the rugs are. And a lot of times there's a lot of crossover between rugs and fabric design.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, of course, there's degrees in, let's see, history of Oriental carpet, fabric design, textile and furniture fabrics, textiles for fashion, textiles for engineered textiles. These are all different kind of parts of that world, all different things to know.
Yeah, so. I have a friend, she has a PhD in architecture and she's an interior designer. And a lot of what she does is studies how textiles and furniture interact with bacteria and mold and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
She does a lot of work with hospitals and healthcare.
Yeah. And that's interesting. I don't know as much about that because I don't do commercial, but that is a big thing.
Yeah, it's a little scary to know her. And I walk in a hospital thinking about all that.
And then you mentioned the different looks. So there's neutral naturals that I tend to like to use a lot for the rug. I like the furniture and the fabrics to be more of the showstopper, whereas the rug is a little quieter usually, not always. And then there are the more bold rugs that are the art. There's, like I say, the tribal rugs, the oriental rugs that those a lot of times hold their value and their investment pieces.
Yeah, I have a Killam and it has all these symbols in it. And I got a book on what all of it meant. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting.
Yeah. And then, of course, all the colors, too, and what that means.
I remember going to when I worked in New York at Christie's, they had rug auctions. And they would auction off the most amazing rugs. And I would go and there would be just a page of description about how the rug was made, where it was made, what all the meaning is in it. And you know, you have to think they were considered flooring.
They'd go over top of like a solid dirt floor.
Exactly.
Right?
They're considered a flooring item. They're not, you know, so it's a serious business, this rug business and textiles. Very serious.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite style of rug, Diane?
I do really love all those Killams. I don't know. But I They're love beautiful. Bright colors, too. Yeah. I don't know. I'm also fascinated by the, like you talk about the weave and just looking at all that stuff. I can just look at it forever. And one thing is, you know, I was thinking about was like antique rugs. You know, a lot of times you go in and you buy some old rugs. Well, sometimes they kind of smell or whatever. What do you do about that?
That there are specialty rug cleaners and repairers. Like I had a rug that had really had a life to it. And I got a good deal on it because it had a few holes and the backing was coming apart. But it was an old Turkish rug, really beautiful and room size, basically, so huge. And so there are different repair people who they'll reweave it for you. They can go back in and unweave and reweave. They can add different backings. It depends on how much you want to spend.
Right.
But there are rug restorers who can put things back together. And then, of course, they have to clean them. And I went once to this fellow and I had a spot that I couldn't figure out what it was. And he just got right down there, nose to the rug and sniffed it. To tell me what it was. No shame in it. Just, it was like the rug whisperer. And it was amazing. And it came back to me looking incredible in the end. So, and you can, you know, sometimes when you get those antique rugs, the edges are frayed. That can all be repaired. They can do new fringe. There's, you know, a lot of different things you can do. So caring for those things is important. And the same thing with your fabrics. You know, there's fiber seals that you can put on them so that you can have more of a chance to clean them if you need to, if something spills on them. And but it's very serious business and it's a big part of what we do.
Well, I know with my Killam rug, we're able to just take it outside. You hose it down with cold water and then you take a bar of olive oil soap and you run it over top of it. And it's amazing. It comes out so clean.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to do. You just got to move all your furniture to get it out.
There are great things.
Because you put your furniture on top of the rug.
That's right. They're a great thing to invest in. All right. I think that's what I wanted to share. So
is that enough excitement?
Yeah.
Don't be tired at all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're opinionated. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio.